This podcast is brought to you by Boomer Naturals Face Coverings. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the Boomer Naturals Face Covering banner. At checkout, put in code HowieCar20 and save 20%. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
The president is threatening Twitter on Twitter,
the social media site he has used more than 50,000 times,
saying he will strongly regulate or close them down after they fact-checked two of his tweets that falsely claimed mail-in voting leads to fraud.
My experience in New York, paper ballots are extremely susceptible to fraud. I can show you experience which would make your head spin.
It'd be a risky experiment for us. We've never done a mail-in ballot statewide.
Wasserman Schultz is worried about signature fraud, disenfranchising college students, getting addresses wrong.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
The way that the president conducts himself, in a way, he's dog whistling.
The environment that this president has trafficked in can help to lead to these sorts of situations.
I am asking my colleagues, the mayor, to declare a state of emergency, declaring racism as a public health issue.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
I have never seen anything like this. The building's beginning to collapse. The building is collapsing. The building just exploded. Oh my God.
Everything is on fire. Everything is exploding. Oh, I think Wendy's is on fire. I love that Wendy's. Oh, hell no.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Is there anything else you'd like to add today before we close out our assembly?
I'm talking on behalf of my friends. Will they be able to have graduation parties for their children? They're very confused, getting mixed messages.
We are in a state of emergency, which limits gatherings to under 10 in indoor and confined spaces.
There's actually not a rule that says that.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Good afternoon. This is the Howie Carr Show, and we hope to have an update for you at some point on the daily changes in the rules as regards social gatherings in Massachusetts. First, you couldn't have anybody over the number 10. You couldn't have any more than 10 people together. Then the lieutenant governor yesterday, after getting busted at a party with some of her nephews and nieces, said you can have more than 10 in an outdoor setting, whatever that means, and an intimate setting. And so we're trying to get her to comment today. What's the policy today? It keeps going back and forth, back and forth.
It's an evolving policy, Howie.
Right, kind of like the masks in Minneapolis, I guess. You know, the mayor was going to mandate masks. It was going to be a $300 fine if you didn't wear a mask in the city of Minneapolis, including people, children, babies, 2 years old. Anybody over the age of two had to be wearing a mask or they would get a ticket. Now, however, I think masks are sort of frowned upon, at least if you're looting, aren't they?
Yeah, Howie, we should talk about this story because this is by far the biggest story of the day. And so do you mind if I start Grace's News with an update on this?
Go right ahead.
So this whole story started when a police officer named Derek Chauvin out of Minneapolis put his knee on a man named George Floyd's neck after he was already handcuffed. And yeah.
It wasn't a violent crime he was charged with. He was charged with forgery.
No, and it's truly a devastating incident and really despicable. And I just don't understand. First of all, it was incredibly ignorant of the person, of the police officer himself. But there was also other cops around who should have said, get your leg off of his neck. Once someone's handcuffed, the fight is over. It doesn't matter what they were doing before. Once you have them handcuffed, you don't need to use such excessive force. And so that led to a lot of justified outrage over the death of George Floyd. And then last night, it turned into these protests, which then kind of evolved into riots.
Looting.
And
looting.
Then
that's the
into
word
looting.
You're looking for, Grace. Looting.
And it involved a lot of burning of buildings, including, like you heard in the introduction, the Wendy's, Target. I think an AutoZone was burned down.
The traditional looting of the liquor store. That's always the first place.
And it's sad because the actual incident is horrible and there should be justice served. And President Trump said he's going to have the FBI and the DOJ look into it. And it does seem like it's a terrible incident that took place and there should be justice. But I don't understand what these riots are accomplishing. I don't think they're helping this George Floyd's family's case at all. Like, they just don't seem helpful. They seem destructive. And it was really sad to look at the pictures of just all of these fires and all of this devastation, all of these buildings, a lot of them small businesses ruined. I don't know. It's just, it's insane.
I know. Again, civilization is starting to fray in these locked down states, these blue states. And, you know, there's no justification for what happened to George Floyd. But, you know, there's a lot of this kind of stuff going on. There's more, as the weather gets warmer, there's more and more shootings. People are reacting badly to being told to stay indoors, not being allowed to gather, being rousted, seemingly at random for things that that didn't require rousting, shall we say, a few weeks ago. And people are getting their nerves are getting frayed. I'm not justifying the riots. I'm not justifying what happened with the police in Minnesota. But, people have had enough of this.
Yeah. And I think it will be interesting to see what comes of this situation. Hopefully this man, this Derek Chauvin, I just can't get over the picture of him with his leg on George Floyd's neck. It's just so preposterous that he ever would think that's okay. But again, a lot of people are coming out, whether it's people on Twitter, right wing, left wing, and saying this was a bad thing that happened and there should be consequences. But the AutoZone and the Target don't have anything to do with it. So,
well, the CVS in Baltimore didn't have anything to do with the fact that that guy, Freddie Gray, was apparently throwing himself around the back of the can I call it a paddy wagon? Because I'm a paddy. It's in the back of the paddy wagon. And you know what? I say that because none of the police who were charged with his murder were ever convicted. None of them. They finally dropped the charges against them. So the guy was throwing himself around because he didn't want to go to jail on a drug charge. He figured he could be injured and they just dropped the charges. And so they end up burning down the CVS in their own neighborhood. The drugstore.
Right. And just to clarify for everyone out there, we are not conflating those two things. It seems like it was a very different situation and that the man was not being violent and he was handcuffed. So there's definitely... it's a different
situation. I'm just saying, though, but the point is that, the looters in these situations sometimes take it out on establishments in their own neighborhood. And
they take advantage of a bad situation. So they take advantage of a tragedy.
Minnesota is one of these locked down states under Governor Waltz's edicts. And so now this neighborhood has lost its Target.
And they've lost the
Wendy's.
It's kind of a classic case of two wrongs don't make a right. What happened was wrong, but this doesn't right it in any way. This just puts everyone who lives there in a more angry, more upset situation. Howie, I also want to talk a little bit about this Twitter stuff that's happening with Donald Trump, because Mark Zuckerberg, who we all know is the Facebook man, he came out against Twitter's fact-checking, saying they should not be the arbiters of truth. And I want to play that cut because Nancy Pelosi reacted to it. A lot of people have had reactions. This is cut 12.
You know, I mean, we're different companies, but I think we've been pretty clear on what I think the right approach is, which is that I don't think that Facebook or internet platforms in general should be arbiters of truth. I think that's a kind of a dangerous line to get down to in terms of deciding what is true and what isn't. And I think political speech is one of the most sensitive parts in a democracy, and people should be able to see what politicians say. And there's a ton of scrutiny already. Political speech is the most scrutinized speech already by a lot of the media.
Howie, what is your take? And then I'm going to give you mine on Mark Zuckerberg saying that social media should not be the arbiter of truth or the people.
I think he's trying to protect his business. He doesn't need this kind of headache. I mean, Grace, you write a column for the Herald. I write a Boston Herald. I write three columns for the Herald. I have enough trouble keeping my facts straight in my own column. I'm not going to, I don't want to have to police everybody that's on a website. He's got, right, how many hundreds of millions of people does he have? I mean, Twitter has millions, if not hundreds of millions. You can't police them. And as Marco Rubio was saying yesterday, the senator from Florida, right now, they're like a bookstore, right?
Right.
But if they get, you know, a bookstore is not liable for what is sold, and they can't be, you can't sue a bookstore for libel because somebody has been defamed in one of the books they're selling. But if they start publishing books, then they can be held liable.
Right.
For
it's
what's
like
printed.
you can be the purveyor, but you don't want to be the creator.
Right. So Twitter has decided that they are going to become a publisher. And it's this is really opening up a can of worms for them. They should not be involved in this. And I mean, they're already facing this ridicule because they have this PC guy who has his PhD in gay studies and who hates Donald Trump and hates Mitch McConnell and hates everybody in the flyover states. He's going to be the arbiter.
And the thing
is what's correct.
Howie,
speech.
To your point, it's also, if they want to do this, and it's obviously going to be more towards Republicans. I mean, that's just, you can look at any time Trump has been fact-checked compared to Obama being fact-checked. But also, I don't care if people are out there spreading misinformation online, as long as there's other people out there who I follow who can put out the real information. That's kind of the world we live in.
Right.
You have to be able, as a adult human, to filter out what is true and what is not. And that's just something you have to learn to do in the 21st century. If you see, what's his name? Louis Farrakhan. They tried to get him off Twitter. You don't need to get him off Twitter. But it should be the same for everyone. Everyone should have the platform, be able to use it, and then you can make your own decisions.
We're in an Orwellian age,
yes,
Grace. You know, I mean, George Orwell in 1984, he talked about the Ministry of Truth.
Yes.
And Twitter is setting up the Ministry of Truth here.
Howie, you know what it kind of reminds me of? There's this new Netflix documentary. It's called Trial by Media. And I was watching it, and there's this case, and it was on the Jenny Jones show. And I guess she was like a Jerry Springer type lady. And she brought these people on, and because she humiliated them, one of them ended up killing another person on the show. And they tried to sue her. And the people involved were saying, if you do this, if you let them sue her, then everything's going to change forever because everyone's going to be liable for every bad thing that goes wrong. And it's the same thing with this. It's like you can't control what people are going to do.
Yeah. No, I think Trump's right. I think you can't have double standards here. And, you know, we've had a double standard of justice for the last 3 years. You know, they tried to frame the president of the United States and his closest associates. And
oh, that's been debunked.
While letting Hillary Clinton and her crew get off on espionage charges, and now you're setting up the double standard again. There's going to be a Ministry of Truth to police Donald Trump, but Adam Schiff, a pathological liar, as Donald Trump Jr. says, Jesse Smollett on steroids, he's allowed to say whatever the hell he wants. He can make up any damn lie he wants. And Twitter will never, ever in a million years come down on him. I guarantee it. And people understand that.
Howie, when we get back, I have an update on a case involving transgender athletes in competition with women. And I think you're going to like this update.
Oh, good. Is it from Connecticut?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good.
I can't
good.
Get anything been, by you. Everything I read, you've already read.
No, I've been following that case. That's been going on for a couple of years. That's
yeah,
good.
It's a good okay. ending to the story.
We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
The paper boy with a big microphone. Howie Carr.
This is Karen from Billerica, Massachusetts.
This is Adrian in Swanton, Vermont.
This is Miss Susan up in Warner, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
You know, is Twitter going to fact check the Chinese government? They're putting out all kinds of false statements about the origination of coronavirus, COVID-19. Are they going to be fact checked? I don't think so. just like Bloomberg, you know, he didn't cross China because he was afraid of losing business in a country with a, what, a billion and a half people. I think Twitter will do the same thing. They'll be intimidated by the loss, the potential loss of business. This is ridiculous. They're so crazy. I mean, I'm not going to say they're stupid because they came up with a great business plan. Obviously, I like Twitter myself, but you know, how foolish can they be to want to step into this quicksand of trying to censor Republicans? And do they never think Democrats are going to be censored? All this is like the mail-in ballots. Oh, we're going to steal some elections from Republicans. Pretty soon, Democrats are going to be stealing elections from Democrats. They don't understand what they're getting into when they try to tear down all these foundations, all these checks and balances that we have. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy, but with Roman now it can be. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED all from home. Go to GetRoman.com/Howie to get a free online visit and free two-day shipping. And in case you didn't see it, our lieutenant governor in Massachusetts decided that even though she's leading the charge to keep the state shut down and all the restaurants out of business for as long as possible, she could have a party. She could have with her brother and her niece and her nephew, because they were graduating. So it was okay for them to have a party. And then it turns out that the governor of New Mexico, who shut down all the so-called non-essential businesses, ordered a jewelry store to open up so she could buy some jewelry, probably for a national TV appearance as she auditions to become Joe Biden's running mate. And so, Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Who's more of a hypocrite, Mass. Lieutenant Governor Karen Pulido or New Mexico Governor Michelle Grisham?
I'm going to go with the local girl, Karen Pulido.
78% say pay to play.
It could go either way. They're both equally hypocritical. Go ahead, Grace.
Grace's news is brought to you by Boomer Naturals face coverings. Charlie Parker, that's Party Girl Polito's boss. He has spoken, and now you need a face covering. So get a comfortable one at HowieCarShow.com. When you click on the Boomer Naturals banner, you can save 20% with code word HowieCar20. That's code word HowieCar20. Howie, a Connecticut policy that allows transgender athletes to compete as girls in high school sports violates the civil rights of athletes who have always identified as female, according to a letter from the U.S. Education Department Civil Rights Office.
Good.
So this is...
That's only going to count, though, as long as Donald Trump is president and Betsy DeVos is education secretary. If Biden's elected, the boys will be back in the girls' events next year in the Nutmeg State.
And, Howie, a story I did not get to yesterday, Disney World to reopen in July, SeaWorld Orlando to reopen in June.
Good. I think one of the big theme parks in Tampa is having a problem because they've got one of these, blue state type mayors planted behind enemy lines here in the free state of Florida. So they're having a problem. What is it? Busch Gardens in Tampa? I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I guess Epcot is supposed to open by July 15th and the Magic Kingdom and the Animal Kingdom on July 11th.
I hope those monkeys in the Animal Kingdom will social distance. They have some very unsanitary habits, Grace, in case you've never been down there. I won't get into it. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. You know, President Trump is supposed to be such a hothead. He was just asked at his press conference, do you think the police officers in Minneapolis should be prosecuted? And he said, I'm not saying anything right now. This is as opposed to Barack Obama, the so-called constitutional scholar, saying that the police officers in Cambridge acted stupidly when they did much less than to that Harvard professor than the Minneapolis police did to George Floyd. But he's a hothead. He was smart enough not to say anything. 844-500-4242. Joining us now on the line is John Heineracker from one of our favorite blogs, powerlineblog.com. And he's based in Minneapolis or Minnesota. I don't know if he's still there. I don't know if are you still there in Minnesota, John?
Yeah, I live in a Minneapolis suburb.
So before we talk about the this judge in Illinois, what's going on in Minneapolis today?
Well, it's a grim situation. There's rioting continuing. A bunch of looters stormed a Target store in St. Paul, actually, ways away, and were stopped by St. Paul police officers. They have suspended all bus service throughout the Twin Cities metropolitan area. Major malls have closed based on reports of looters moving in their direction. I think FCC rules prevent me from using the term that I would like to, Howie, but it is a bad situation.
Yeah. And I mentioned earlier, here it was, we were chuckling last Friday that the mayor of Minneapolis was going to order his police to write citations, $300 fines for children at the over the age of two who weren't wearing masks in public. I mean, and now it's now I assume that edict has been rescinded for the time being in Minneapolis.
Well, at least people aren't paying much attention to it. You know, we have this boy mayor, a guy named Jacob Frey. He was an associate in my old law firm, Howie, you know, totally unqualified for the job. And frankly, Minneapolis has a police department that has long been troubled. You know, it needs new leadership. It needs far, far stronger leadership. And the whole city is just very, very poorly led and administered.
Well, I wanted to ask you about this. We tried to get the judge on, but you know the way judges are. They don't like to come on radio shows.
No, that's right.
To discuss their decisions. But this is one of the more entertaining and also, I thought, spot-on decisions. This is the kind of column I would have been happy to write. I think you would have been happy to write this as a blog posting, wouldn't you? Michael McKinney.
This is one of the most righteous rants ever delivered from a bench, Howie. And, you know, in Illinois, in my experience, limited experience in Illinois state court, what happened is there's a motion that's been made in this lawsuit filed in a state court in rural Illinois. And the plaintiff has moved for a preliminary injunction. And the parties are in court, and the judge now gets up on the bench, and he's going to make his ruling. And the custom, as I've seen it in state court in Illinois, is that the judge will get up there and start talking, or he'll read something. He'll read an often kind of a long ruling. And then when he's done, he'll tell the winning lawyer to put it in the form of an order. Right, and then the lawyers will argue about what exactly the judge ruled while he was talking. It's an interesting system. So what's actually been published here and reported, I put up a long excerpt from it on Powerline, is the judge's oral comments, which I think he obviously was reading from the bench as he ruled in favor of this, you know, private citizen who was claiming that Governor Pritzker's order was invalid and looking for an injunction.
And capricious, to use a great legal word that certainly applies in the case of Governor Pritzker. But if you didn't, I read most of it yesterday, not on the Newsmax hour. Let me just read a paragraph or two just to give the Newsmax audience an idea of what this is about. Since the inception of this insanity, this is the judge saying this. This isn't me or John Heineracker. This is the judge saying this. Since the inception of this insanity, the following regulations, rules, or consequences have occurred. I won't get COVID if I get an abortion, but I will get COVID if I get a colonoscopy. Selling pot is essential, but selling goods and services at a family-owned business is not. Pot wasn't even legal, and pot dispensaries didn't even exist in this state until 5 months ago. And in that 5 months, they have become essential, but a family-owned business in existence for five generations is not. And then it just goes on like that, and he lays it all out, what all of us have been thinking across the country.
Howie, it is so great. And one of the things that make it great is he talks about the hypocrisy. Let me read a paragraph too. How he says, the defendant in this case, that is the governor of Illinois, orders you to stay home and pronounces that if you leave the state, you are putting people in danger. But his family members traveled to Florida and Wisconsin because he deemed such travel essential. One initial rationale why the rules don't apply to him is that his family farm had animals that needed to be fed. Try selling that argument to farmers who've had to slaughter their herds because of disruption in the supply chain. Yeah. It is great. And then he concludes, you know, he says, when laws do not apply to those who make them, like the governor's family, people right. are not being governed, they are being ruled. Make no mistake, these executive orders are not laws, they are royal decrees. Illinois citizens are not being governed, they are being ruled. The last time I checked, Illinois citizens are also Americans, and Americans don't get ruled.
Yeah. And this is happening around the country. I mean, it's happened in New Mexico. We talked about the governor demanding a jewelry store open to sell her some jewelry. The lieutenant governor of Massachusetts tells people they can't have parties and then throws her own graduation party.
Husband of the governor of Michigan, you know, tries to yeah. jump in front of the line and get his boat in the water early.
Right. And then she says it's a botched joke, as John to use John Kerry's words. And, you know, the other thing about it, John, is they try to one-up themselves. Like, for instance, in Massachusetts yesterday, the Somerville, you know where it is. It's right next to Boston. The mayor says, I don't care what the president says. Nobody, no more than 10 people can go into a church. And so, you know, I guess the mayor of Boston sees that on the front page. He says, I can top that. He cancels the Boston Marathon this afternoon. Hey, you know.
Oh, God. You know. Yeah.
Where does it end?
You know what, Howie? In Minnesota, they canceled the state fair, which takes place at the end of August, you know, right before Labor Day. You know, the state fair is like the biggest event that takes place in the state of Minnesota. They canceled it.
Yeah, and you know, you've been writing, some of your colleagues on Powerline blog have been writing about this for a while. The governor of Minnesota, Waltz, he was predicting that there were going to be, I believe, 74,000 deaths in Minnesota, right?
When he announced his, you know, his shutdown order, he did it on the basis of a model that we later found out was created by some students over a weekend. Seriously, I'm not kidding. And that was the basis for his order. And it said that without a shutdown order, 74,000 people would die in Minnesota. With a shutdown order, 50,000 people would still die in Minnesota. I think the actual number is like 700, almost all of them in nursing homes and assisted
right.
living facilities.
Right. And you know, one thing I'll say about Minnesota is, unlike most states, they break it down. Like a lot of states just do it over 80. Minnesota does it, you know, over 90 and then over 100. So you really get a precise view of who is exactly perishing. And again, we don't want anybody to die, but you have to understand where the danger is.
Well, and you have to be realistic, Howie. I've got a 98-year-old father who's in a nursing home. You know, you get to a certain age, and yes, if you get sick, it can kill you, you know? Mm-hmm. This is not the Black Death we're talking about here.
Right. Let me read another paragraph here of Judge McHaney's ruling in Clay County, Illinois. A family of six can pile into their car and drive to Carlisle Lake without contracting COVID, but if they all get in the same boat, they will. We are told that kids rarely contract the virus and sunlight kills it, but summer youth programs, sports programs are canceled. Four people can drive to the golf course and not get COVID, but if they play in a foursome, they will. If I go to Walmart, I won't get COVID, but if I go to church, I will. Murderers are released from custody while small business owners are threatened with arrest if they have the audacity to attempt to feed their families.
These are the points, Howie, that you and I and others around the country have been making now for a while, but to see them made by a judge in the course of issuing an injunction holding that his state's order is arbitrary and capricious and therefore illegal, and I take it he was acting under Illinois law. This isn't entirely clear just from reading the ruling, but I think he was acting under Illinois law rather than federal law.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure that this happened a little while ago. So I'm sure the governor just went into the next level of court and got a temporary restraining order against this poor guy who was just trying to get back into business. And, you know, I don't know if you know this. Yesterday we had on the guy who busted the MSNBC crew at Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
Oh, that's great. You found the guy?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. You know where he was from, John? He's from Illinois.
No.
He was trying to escape the society that Judge McHaney was talking about. He was going to take a day off up in Wisconsin, which, you know, would be shut down if the Wisconsin Supreme Court hadn't opened it up. You know, and thank God in this case,
right.
Thank goodness,
you know,
for the court.
You know, a lot of people from Minnesota are driving across the border into Wisconsin to get haircuts, which is illegal in Minnesota. The bars and restaurants are open right across the river in Wisconsin, and they're doing a land office business in part because people are coming over from Minnesota.
Yeah, my daughter lives in Boston. She and her fiance drove to Rhode Island for dinner on Saturday night, and then they drove to New Hampshire on Sunday night for dinner. I mean, it's got to be. This is what's happening. I mean, no wonder people are getting angry and just their nerves are frayed. This is ridiculous. And as he said, as the judge said, this is America. Americans are not ruled. This isn't what we signed up for.
It certainly isn't, Howie. And, you know, one of the things going on here is I have to admit, you know, I practiced law for 40 years, as you know, but I was stunned that a governor in my state or any state can just issue these sweeping decrees telling all of us we have to stay in our houses. Are you kidding me? Shutting down the churches? I mean, I confess, I was shocked that the states have given their governors emergency powers of this breadth.
And then you look at, like in Massachusetts, this law was passed in 1950 at the height of the Cold War, and it was for 45 days. And so the 45 days runs out, and I think this has happened in other states as well, John. The people go into court and they say, well, wait, look, here it is. The 45 days is up. This is over. No, this is a real emergency. And then in a lot of cases, these judges go along with it.
Yeah, I think one thing we're seeing here, Howie, is that the inner fascist that lurks in the hearts of so many liberals is coming out. I think of these governors and their staffs and all the people involved in this thing, you know, the Dr. Faucis of the world, you know, you know who we're talking about. I think these people love bossing the rest of us around. I really do.
Yeah. I'm going to ask a recurring question, John. Where is the American Civil Liberties Union?
Wow, that is a good question, Howie. And you know what? It's a sign of the times that question has never occurred to me. It's been so long since the ACLU actually stood up for civil liberties that it, frankly, it hadn't even occurred to me to watch for them here.
Yeah, it's disappointing is what it is. You know, you could get angry at them sometimes when they tried to outlaw Christmas trees, you know, or you know, wanted to allow Nazis to march in Skokie, Illinois. But you'd say, well, at least they're consistent, you know. They're not consistent
anymore.
They used
to be principled. No, they used to be principled. Now they're just on the left.
That's right. Exactly. John Hinderacher, always a pleasure. And thanks for introducing us to Judge McHaney. I like to respect judges sometimes. You know, I don't see many I really like that much, but I like Judge McHaney. Thanks a lot. That's John Hinderacher from powerlineblog.com. Check it out. It's a great blog. I'm Howie Carr.
A nightmare to liberals everywhere. He's Howie Carr.
Hi, this is John in the People's Republic of Amherst, Massachusetts.
This is Heather from Litchfield, Maine.
This is Kent, Wichita, Kansas, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Mr. President, given your concern with Twitter, have you given any consideration to deleting your account, to just walking away from this platform you've been so critical of?
Well, you know, if you weren't fake, I would not even think about it. I would do that in a heartbeat.
I'm real,
but
sir.
But the news is fake.
God. You don't like the fact that Nancy Pelosi controls the House of Representatives. Have you ever thought about resigning as president of the United States or committing suicide? Come on. What kind of questions are these? I mean, it's a legitimate question to ask him if he thinks the cops in Minneapolis should be prosecuted. He answered it right correctly, I think, by saying he wasn't going to say anything. He had no business saying anything. It's not his job to say anything. But, that kind of question, is he going to get off Twitter? Does anyone have any more followers than him? Wouldn't be good for Twitter, I don't think, if he got off. 844-500-4242. People are on the text line. They're very much thinking about the Americans for Civil Liberties. And 413 says, the ACLU is very active getting prisoners out of jails. Yes, I'm familiar with that. So they don't get COVID, but the community gets terrorized when they get out. Yeah, they have less COVID in most jails. Some places have outbursts, but not most don't. And you're safer probably from getting it in prison than you are outside. And not that it's going to kill you outside unless you're, again, in one of the high-risk groups. But they let people out. And in some cases, certainly where we're from in Massachusetts, they've been let out of prison and then they die of drug overdoses, because they haven't had any drugs for a while. It's killing them. And then they're getting out and they're killing or raping people, as we've seen that all the time in New York. Many gruesome murders. Let's see here. Pat, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Pat.
Hi, Howie.
Hi.
Howie, I'm in Connecticut. I'm 82 and I'm a prisoner. I can't get out of the house unless I have a mask on. I hate wearing a mask, but that's not why I called. I called because you mentioned Victor David Hansen's.
Yes.
Yes. Well, for New Year's resolution, I decided to read Will and Muriel Durant's The Story of Civilization, 11 volumes, The Story of the World. And I ran to the volume on Greece because he really struck a nerve with me. Listen to this. The essential cause of the Roman conquest of Greece was the disintegration of Greek civilization from within. No great nation is ever conquered until it has destroyed itself. And then Durante lists a couple reasons, among them the disturbance of economic life by political disorder and the corruption of democracy, the decay of morals and patriotism.
Sound familiar, Pat? Really familiar. Thanks for the call, Pat. To get through that, I would suggest Edward Gibbon, Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, even an abridged edition, is pretty darn good. And Procopius, The Secret History, that's about Byzantium under Justinian. I'm Howie Carr.